Still can't connect Shaw with Billy Bishop, Jesse said. He and Kelly were in Kelly's car parked along Day Boulevard near Carson Beach. They had coffee in paper cups. A bag of donuts was on the seat between them. Everything but, Kelly said. But we still can't connect him specifically to Billy Bishop. Or Billy Bishop with Alan Garner, Kelly said. Or Shaw with Garner, Jesse said. Shaw's the one, Kelly said. You think? Yeah, son of a bitch jumps out at you. Nice if we could prove it. At least we know where to look, Kelly said. What we can prove, Jesse said, is that Shaw likes young hookers. And that he took him to a motel on the North Shore and Billy Bishop checked into that same motel. Can we prove that he took Billy Bishop there, Jesse said. You tell me, Kelly said. No. And if we could prove he took her there, can we prove that he killed her? No. They were silent. Kelly took a cinnamon donut out of the bag and shook it to get rid of the loose cinnamon. The only connection we've got is Garner to Shaw through Gino Fish, Jesse said. Kelly took a bite of the donut, leaning far forward over the steering wheel so as not to get cinnamon on himself. Because Billy Bishop called Gino's phone number, he said. Yeah, but it might be that she called Garner at Gino's office. I don't like Gino for this, Kelly said. Because? Not his style, Kelly said. Why would Gino pimp for a fucking pedophile? Risk is big and money's small. Favor for a friend, Jesse said. Gino? Doesn't he value friendship, Jesse said. He's never experienced it. So you think Garner was working out of Gino's office? And maybe Gino didn't know nothing about it. Which makes a Shaw connection kind of a problem, Jesse said. Big coincidence, Kelly said. You can't assume coincidence, Jesse said. No, you can't, Kelly said. Garner could know Shaw through Gino. So? So we're right back where we were, Kelly said. Jesse broke off a piece of cinnamon donut and popped it in his mouth. He chewed carefully and took a sip of coffee. How would Gino feel if he found out Garner was running a prostitution business out of his office? He would be offended, Kelly said. They were both silent, watching a flatbed tow truck hook up to a Dodge pickup that was parked in a tollway zone. A motorcycle cop was supervising. You think we're next, Jesse said. Traffic division's a menace, Kelly said. The tow truck driver squirmed under the pickup and hooked his cable on the frame. Then he stood beside his truck and worked the lever, and the pickup began to winch up onto the flatbed. So, Jesse said, if Garner found out we knew about him and were planning to talk with Gino about it, Kelly smiled and said, bingo. There were two blue and white Paradise Cruisers. One pulled up onto the sidewalk, nose in, blue light still flashing, parked in front of the Atlantic Market. Jesse parked on the street behind them and got out. Behind the car that was up on the sidewalk were Anthony D'Angelo and Eddie Cox. Cox had a shotgun. Hostage, Anthony D'Angelo told him. I think it's Snyder and his wife, you know, the one that beat her up all the time. Where are they? Back of the store, I think, D'Angelo said, by the service counter. Anybody else? Some customers, couple of store people, I don't know yet how many. Anybody here from the store? We got one of the cashiers, Cox said. She's the one came running out hollering. Store manager's on his way. Got the back covered? Suit and buddy. Anybody made contact? I went to the front door, D'Angelo said. Guy yells at me from the back, says he'll kill her and everybody else if I try to come in. I just said I was there to help. Was there something he wanted? And? He said I should get out or he'd start shooting. Then he says to the broad, tell him. But she don't talk. I can hear her crying. What about the other people in the store? I don't know. I didn't see anybody. Okay, Jesse said. Where's the cashier? In Eddie's cruiser, D'Angelo said. In the distance, there was the sound of another siren. That'll be Arthur, D'Angelo said. Call Molly, Jesse said. She covers the station. I want everyone else down here. D'Angelo nodded and began to speak into the microphone, pinned to his epaulette. Jesse walked to the other cruiser and got in. An adolescent girl with a lot of brown hair, worn up, and braces on her teeth was sitting in the passenger seat, hugging herself. I want to go home, she said. Anybody coming to get you, Jesse said? No. What's your name? Kate. Kate what? Ryan. What's your phone number, Kate? She gave it to him. But no one's home, she said. Jesse nodded. Okay, he said. You got a work phone for one of your parents? My father works in Boston, she said. My mother sells real estate. She gave him both numbers. Jesse picked up the radio and called Molly and gave her the phone numbers. Get a parent down here for Kate Ryan, he said. I'm on it, Molly said. What's happening? Jesse put the mic away without answering. They'll be here soon, he said to Kate. So what happened? You come in the front door and right past me. Snyder. I don't know his name. I never seen him before. You were at the checkout? Yeah. And he went right past me and he took out his gun and he said he was going to kill her. Mrs. Snyder? Yeah. She just started working customer service and he said he was going to kill everybody. And I run out and I seen that cop and started screaming and... She shrugged and spread her hands. What if they can't find my mother or father? She's a cop, Jesse said. She'll find them. What kind of gun did he have? Just a gun. I don't know nothing about guns. Was it a handgun or something longer, like a rifle or a shotgun? Hand. Jesse took his .38 off his belt. Did it look like this, Jesse said, kind of round, or was it more square? It might have been more square, she said. I don't know. It was a gun. Jesse put the gun back in its holster. Okay, he said. Did you hear him say anything else? No. I ran out as soon as I saw the gun, and he went past me. Who was in the store besides you? Mario from the meat counter, Ray the vegetable guy, some customers. Bethany, the other cashier, was on break. How many customers? I don't know. 10? No, not that many. 5? Maybe. Can you call her and see if she's got my mother and father? They'll be here, Jesse said. Peter Perkins and John McGuire had arrived. Murphy and Freeman are around back with Suit and Buddy, Perkins said. Molly says she can't raise Martin yet. Okay, put on the vests and start clearing people out of the stores. John, take Kate across the street and stay with her. Jesse got out of the car. As she walked across the street with McGuire, Kate looked back once at Jesse. He smiled at her. They'll be here, he said. D'Angelo came over with a balding, red-faced man who seemed out of breath. This is Mr. Stevens, D'Angelo said. Store manager. Jesse Stone. How many ways out of the store? 3. Where? Back door, front door, and loading door in the cellar. Where's the cellar door open? Jesse said. In the back, right near the back entrance, but lower. Any private rooms in there? My office, which is up some stairs beside the service counter. Bathroom? Yes, behind the stairs to my office. Everything else is market space? Yes. Any connecting ways between your store and the ones on either side? No. Is there a phone near the service booth? Yes, sir, inside the counter. Jesse handed him a cell phone. Dial the number, Jesse said. Stevens did and handed the phone to Jesse. Jesse waited. It rang without result. Jesse counted 10 rings, then broke the connection. No need to irritate Snyder. There a window in the bathroom, Jesse said. Yes, Stevens said. Frosted glass. How about in your office? Yes, but it's on the second floor, remember. A crowd had gathered across the street. Peter, Jesse said, get those people out of the line of fire. Perkins nodded and started across the street. The air was still. The high summer sound of an insect lingered above him. It was a sound he'd heard all his life. He never knew what made it, exactly. Crickets, grasshoppers. He dialed the store again. Again, he let it ring 10 times and broke the connection. He had on a light blue linen blazer and a gray T-shirt, jeans and sneakers. His gun was on his right hip under the blazer. He stood silently for a minute, staring at the store and the police cars and the crowd and the cops in their bulletproof vests. For a moment, it all looked motionless, like a frozen frame in a movie. He took in some air. A woman in a flowered yellow dress opened the front door of the market and stepped out and ran. She ducked behind D'Angelo's cruiser and fell to her knees. "He wants to talk to Stone," she said. "He wants Stone to come in." She was having trouble getting enough air in. "He said he was going to kill us all," she said. "He's drunk. He has a bottle and he keeps drinking." Jesse crouched beside her. "Where is he?" Jesse said. "He put the gun right in my face," the woman said. She was blonde with a lot of dark eye makeup. "Where is he standing?" Jesse said. "In the back. He said he was going to kill everybody, himself too." "Where are the other hostages?" With him, sitting on the floor, except for one woman he hangs on to. I think it's his wife. Where on the floor? I don't know, just on the floor. No, you do know. If I'm facing him, where are the hostages, to my right or my left? The woman thought for a moment. Right, she said. How far? They're all sitting against the wall under the service counter, except the wife. Stevens was crouched behind the squad car beside them. Service counter is in the right rear corner of the store, Stevens said. Jesse nodded. Tell me about the hostages, Jesse said to a woman in the yellow dress. How many? How many men? How many women? Two men, she said, and paused, her breath still rasping, counting in her head. Four women. Five if you count the wife. Jesse stood. Okay, he said to no one in particular. He walked to his car, and standing behind it, out of sight of the store, he rearranged his revolver on his belt. Then he got a long-barrel .22 target pistol out of the car, made sure there were bullets in the cylinder, and stuck it in his belt at the small of his back under his jacket. Then he walked back to D'Angelo. I'm going in. Call suit and tell him I'm going in. I want you all to hold still. If you hear a shot, then I want all of you to come front and back. Double time. D'Angelo nodded and unclipped the microphone from his epaulette. Jesse turned and walked toward the market.